Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Gimel. And we're beginning at the two dots, about 5 lines from the top, Yud Gimel Omer Aleph. And we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rav Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Maskinin Lo. We're talking here the 7 days that we were mafrish the Kohen Gadol in preparation for Yom Kippur. So we also had to separate him from his wife, but we also had to designate, according to Rav Yehuda, a second wife for him. In case Rachmana Litzlan, his first wife, died, he needed to have a chiper ba'ado vi'ad beso. He needed to be able to have a wife, to have a beso, in order that the Yom Kippur service could be done by a Kohen Gadol who was married. So therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, we had to be choshesh for Misa, that maybe his first wife would die, so there had to be a second wife available for him. So the Gemara questions and says, Rabbanu nu, nami, ha'chayishi, L'shema. We see that the Chachamim are also concerned about the possibility of Shema, because the Chachamim say that we separate him for 7 days because maybe he'll become Tameh. So if the rabbis are choshesh that we are concerned about Tumah, why aren't they choshesh that we're concerned about his wife dying? It seems like Rav Yehuda has a good taina over here against the Chachamim. So Amar Lach Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say no. Tumah shchicha, misa lo shchicha. Tumah is something that never happens all the time. Person can either have an internal bodily discharge, although it was an ace that never happened to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, but that's always a possibility, and certainly there's a possibility of becoming into contact with somebody or something that would make him tame. So therefore, to be concerned about Tumah, to separate him against Tumah, that is a likely possibility. It's a Dover Shriach, and therefore we take precautions against it. But that the wife, Rachmana Litzlan, should pass away, that's not a Dover Shriach, and therefore it is not something that we have to go and take into consideration. The work continues and quotes the Mishnah, that the Chachamim then said to Rav Yehuda, if you're concerned about one wife passing away, then why aren't you concerned about more than one wife? Even the second wife that you're masakin for him, maybe she'll die, so you should have a third wife, a fourth wife. So Amru Lo, the rabbi said in the Mishnah too, Rabbi Yehuda, im kein ein ledover sof. Once you're starting to make these additional concerns about things that aren't likely, it's a dover shalosh shliach, so then ein ledover sof. Why are you stopping with setting aside one additional wife? You should have to have two, three, four additional wives as well. So Gemara says, Amru Lo, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Akiva, this taina, shaper ko amri le, Rabbi Yehuda. This is a very good comment that the rabbi said to Rabbi Yehuda, ein ledov sof. Why are you only concerned with one wife passing away? You should be concerned with more than one wife passing away. No, what would Rabbi Yehuda respond to that? Rabbi Yehuda, amr loch, he would say, no, lemiso decha dechayshinon, lemiso detati lo chayshinon. He says, for one person to pass away, that I have to be concerned about. But for two wives to pass away, even for me, that's something that is so unlikely, we don't have to be concerned about it. New. And what would the Rabbanan say to that? That's a valid retort that Rabbi Yehuda has. So why aren't the Chacham concerned about the one wife, Lemisa? Rabbanan, they would argue back. Once he's telling us you have to be concerned, then you can't say, well, for one, you're concerned, for two, you're not concerned. Once you're concerned about Misa, which is such a Dover Shalosh Shliach, then you have to be concerned about two as well. Now, Gemara says, Rabbanan, if the Rabbanan say, okay, for Misa we're not concerned about, but for Tumah we're concerned about, Neimru Inu L'Nashayu. So they should be concerned themselves. Now, what does this mean? So the top Rashi over here, the Dibra Maskil actually starts at the bottom of Yudbeis and Yudbeis, and we just go straight to the very top Rashi over here. Kivan da Amri, since the Chachamim hold, Iikal Amechash, Chayshin Anami L'Misa, the Tarte, that if you're saying that you have to be concerned about one, then you have to be concerned about two, so then you throw that back on the Chachamim. So then Nami Bitumah, they should be concerned in regards to Tumah. Why are they only designating one additional Kohen Gadol? They should designate two additional Kohanim Gedolim, just in case the first Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh, the second one will take his place. Well, maybe the second one will come Tameh. They should have a third Kohen Gadol ready in the waiting to take his place. Again, they're saying that Miso is not Shriach, so therefore we don't designate one wife or even, certainly not two wives, but not even one wife. But you are designating one additional Kohen Gadol to be taking his place, so why aren't you concerned that that additional Kohen Gadol that they're designating, the vice Kohen Gadol, the standing Kohen Gadol, just in case the original Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh, so why aren't we concerned that the standing Kohen Gadol will become Tameh and you should have a second standing Kohen Gadol? That's what Rashi's explaining more says. The same thing that the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, if you designate one wife, then you should designate two, three, four. So the same thing we could throw back on the Chacham and say, if you designate one replacement Kohen Gadol, because you are concerned about Tumah, you are Mechish for Tumah, so why aren't we designating a second replacement Kohen Gadol, a third replacement Kohen Gadol, and we throw back the question on the Chachamim, and the Dov itself, Rabbanan, named Ruhinu L'Rashaya, why don't they say the same thing that the saints of Yehuda to themselves? So Ami Lech Rabbanan, the Rabbanan respond, no. Kohen Gadol Zoriz who? The Kohen Gadol Zoriz, as Rashi says, V'nishmar minat Tumah, he'll be very, very careful that he won't become Tomei. And therefore, it's very unlikely that he'll become Tomei, and that's why we only have to designate one replacement Kohen Gadol. However, Abu Misa, Ein Masurubi Odeinu, Misa isn't something that we can in any way prevent. So therefore, we don't even have to go and take into account this one unlikely situation. But the Kohen Gadol Zoriz, so therefore, he won't become Tomei, and the outside chance that he does, one replacement Kohen Gadol is fine. Kohen Gadol Zorisu. Gemara says that if he's Zorisu, Lama Maskinen Kohen Acher. So, but that's, again, a fallacious argument. If you're telling me that he's Zorisu, then you shouldn't even need one. Gemara says, no, that designation of that one replacement Kohen Gadol, Kivon, the Abdinan late Sara, Kol Shekein Dimizdaris Tvei. Once you know there's a replacement waiting in the wings to take your place, if you mess up, so then that will spur him to even be more careful and make it even less likely that he'll mess up, so much so that we certainly don't need to be choshes, according to Chachamim, for a second replacement Kohen Gadol. Even one is very unlikely, and the fact that you even designate one, that will spur the original Kohen Gadol to be extra careful. Now the Gemara asks a new question. Umi sagi le betakanta. Rashi explains, this takanta of Rabbi Yehuda is the hasmana, the designation of a second wife. How does that even work? Even if Rabbi Yehuda says it's necessary, how does it work that a person should have a second wife? The pasuk says, Beso, the repair by Dovi ad Beso. So Beso implies singular, his one house. Beso am rachmana v'hach lav Beso hi. This woman isn't his wife. So how does it help you to have this other woman designated to be his wife? So the Gemara says, no, the Mekadishla, he actually is Mekadisher. She actually does become his wife. So therefore, this accomplishes, if his first wife dies, he is Mekudish to this other woman. So the Gemara says, V'okama de lo konisla, la besohi. The definition of beso is it has to be his wife, not only through the first stage of marriage, what we call the Kiddushin stage or the Erisin stage, which is what he's Mekadisher. So that only makes her his wife to a certain extent. So she's not allowed to have relations with anybody else, but she's still not allowed to have relations with him. So until they have the second stage of marriage, what we call Nisuin, so until that point in time, it wouldn't fulfill the idea of Beso. So therefore, again, designating this woman, this takanta of being Mazmin, a second wife, him, won't work, even if you're Makadishur. You need to do Nisuin. So Gemara says, yeah, the Kanish law. He does Nisuin with her as well. Gemara says, but that brings about a second set of problems. Imkain, Havlishnei Batim. So now he has two wives, and that's a problem. Rachmon Amar, the Chifer Badoviad Beso. Beso is singular. Lo Ba'ad Shnei Batim. So again, Mimonoshoch was stuck over here. We got a problem. If he doesn't marry her, so then it doesn't do us any good that he has this other wife waiting in the wings to become his wife, should his first wife, Rachmon al-Islam, pass away. And if he, in fact, marries her, he goes through the stages of Kiddushin and Nisuin, so then we have a problem. He has two wives. And the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to have one wife because the pasuk says Beso, which implies one wife, for lo ba'ad shnei batim. So Gemara says, oh, you know what he does? Dohodo megarish lo. He goes and he divorces her. Gemara says, what? In megarish lo, 100 kushin leduchta. That doesn't get off the ground. The question still would remain. So he had a wife and then he divorced her, so then bottom line is, on Yom Kippur, he only has this one wife, and Rav Yehuda is concerned that Rachman al-Islam, this wife could die, and he'll be left without a wife, and how will he do the Avoda? Now, this seems like a very strange question, and in fact, Rashi, in the Dibra Masa Amanasha Tomusi, tells us, if you look in the third line of this Rashi, so he says that all of these terutim that we're going to give over here are very, very problematic. You go down three, four lines into this Rashi, he says, Ein terutim shebo yecholim lamod. All of this sugya that we're going to go back and forth over here, it really doesn't stand up. And he says the whole purpose of all of these questions and answers that we're giving, ki yesh lam tshuvos rabos, you can ask many answers on the questions that we give. There are so many different ways of looking at it, and the terutim that we give, we have lots of questions on them. So he says the whole purpose over here, and the Bach adds the girsa, is she'im tomar kein, that if you were to say this, ki yesh lahashiv kein, you could answer this. The Eino Meshiv called to Shuvos Sheyesh Lohoshiv. We're not trying to go and ask every single question that could possibly have over here. Kibi Achas humisalko litarets the inyan acher, because you could easily go and answer this up in other ways that would lead to further questions. Ad shehimi damachona. So every one of these questions is really just a prelude to get to the final answer as to what is actually being done. And there actually are different girsos over here, which are going to run through the girsos that we have in our Gemara and realize that each question has sometimes more questions to it than the one that we answer. So therefore, if you have additional thoughts on this, don't worry about it. The Mefarshim have the same thoughts, and we're just going to get to the bottom line, which is what we're driving at. So now let's start. Amari says, you want to go and marry this other woman and then divorce her? So then you're back to the original question that the guy only has one wife. And according to Yehuda, that's a problem. So Amari says, lo tzricha, the purpose of being Mekadesh and do the Nisuin with this other woman, lo tzricha, the Megarish lo tznai. You do a Gerishin al tznai. A Gerishin al tznai works. If you tell a woman, here's your get, if you give me $100, so then when she gives you $100, so the get takes effect. This is called a get al tnai, and such a get does work. So you marry this second woman, and you give her a get on the following tnai. Domelo, you say to her, this will in fact be a valid get, and you'll be retroactively divorced from now. You say, from mehayom, from the point that you're giving the get before Yom HaKippurim, this will be a valid get. Almanas, and again, I'm going to keep the girsa that we have, even though it's very problematic. Almanas shetamusi, on the condition that you die. So then this is a get. If you die, this will in fact have been a get, and before you die, you're actually a divorced woman, and therefore I'll only have one bias, the Kohen Gadol will say. So Gemara says, well, wait a second. Maybe this woman will not die, and then and then he'll still have two wives. Batim, again, we learned from the very first day in this Masechta, a very important idea, that the wife is the bedrock of the house. She is the bias. The wife is a keres habayis. So, again, in this situation, if she doesn't die, then the gate doesn't take effect, and then he has two wives. That doesn't help us at all. So you're right, where it says, that's not correct. Again, this question and answer was really very, very difficult to understand, which is why others have different gears over here. But again, we're just driving towards the end result, even though the questions and answers we give leave more questions and answers to be asked. In any event, she says, Gemara says, you're right, that's not the right approach. Ella, the Omer law, the man says to her, Hare zeh gitech. I hear he marries the second woman, does nisuin with the second woman, and he says, Hare zeh gitech. Almanas shalotamusi. This is your get if you don't die. If you don't die, then retroactively you aren't married to me. So Gemara says, Ilo meisa, if she doesn't die, so then migrishala. So then she was in fact divorced. Wait a second. The meisa, so if she dies, hokaimaach, so then the other wife is present, and therefore he only has one wife on Yom Kippur. Life sounds like it's good. Gemara says, no, you have a problem. Vidilma, hilo meisa, maybe she doesn't die, so therefore this get is, in fact, a good get. Bhavala Gita, the high Gita. So then the get that he gave to this second woman is, in fact, a valid get, because he said, this is your get under the condition that Hareza Gitech Amanash Lotamusi. If you don't die, this was a get. So she doesn't die, so therefore it's a good get. Now, what happens if the first wife never passes away? Umaisa Chaverta. So now his first wife died, so he doesn't have her. And the second wife did not die, so the get is valid. So therefore, become lay below bias. So now he has no wife. The first wife never passed away. Second wife that he took, well, she didn't die. So therefore, the divorce took effect retroactively. Min hayom. And therefore, he has no wife at all for Yom Kippur. So we're stuck again. Where it says, Taki, you're right. Ella, the Yom HaLoh, he says to her, when he gives her the get, that this get should take effect to the second wife, the replacement wife, Almanas Shetomus Achachs Mikem. Now, one of you dies, so then this get is retroactively a good get. Now, Meisoho, if Chas V'Sholom, the replacement wife dies, who he gave the get to, that says that this should be a valid get, Almanash Thomas Achas Mehem, so then Nebuch, she passed away, but the first wife is still around. Kaimahach. Now, Meisahach, if in fact the first wife passes away, Ha Kaimahach, then the replacement wife is still around. Now, this is very, very problematic because we just said that if one of them dies, the divorce takes effect retroactively. So the first wife dies, so Nebuchadnezzar doesn't have his first wife anymore, but the second wife, well, at least he has her. But no, we're saying that if one of them dies, then this is a divorce retroactively. So therefore, this is a problem. So there's no way to understand this, and therefore many are not goreis these last words over here, that Meisahach, they just delete that. Okay. Gemara continues anyway. Again, we're pushing through this Gemara because we want to get to the ultimate answer, and all of these questions are really just thrown out there to show that this scenario that we're setting up isn't a good scenario. Bedilma lo maisa, so we give a different teretz, and we say, well, maybe neither of them will die, b'lo chodim inayu, neither one of them will pass away. Lo maisa ha, b'lo maisa ha, b'lo chodim inayu, b'av le'shnei batim, and then he'll be left with two wives. So therefore, that's no good. And furthermore, it's still no good for another reason. Oh, ki hai gadna, in this situation, mi have a gita. The whole bottom line is, how can this be a get? If you say that this get goes into effect on your death to a woman, then that's not a valid get. A get has to be a safer krisus. So you have to separate yourself from the wife. So you can say, if you give me $100, so then we're separated. That's a valid separation. But if you say, this get goes into effect on the day that you die, then she is essentially stuck with you the rest of her entire life. And therefore, that's not a valid get. It never separates you from her. So therefore, this isn't a valid get. Even if you wanted to suggest that I'll give you a get that's effective until the day that you die, that's not a valid get. So another problem, multiple problems with these suggestions that we're making, and we're rejecting all of them. For all my Rava, Rava said, I raise a gitech, and the person says to his wife, this is your get, amanas shlotish tiyayin, ko yimei chayai, v'chayechi. You're going to be divorced from me as long as you don't drink any wine for the rest of your life, or for the rest of my life. Now, this would be problematic. For the rest of my life, that actually would be a good get, because she could outlive him, and then there is a safer krisus. So many, including Tosfos over here, say that this is the incorrect girsa, and you shouldn't say v'chayechi over here. In any event, let's just keep it nice and simple. The man gives a get to his wife, and he says, this is your get on the condition that you don't drink wine the rest of your life. Ein ze krisus. That is not a valid get, because it doesn't sever her from him at any point in time. As opposed to, we would say, koi mei chayei ploni, but if you don't drink wine for the entire life of so-and-so, well, she could outlive so-and-so, and therefore, there would be a point in time where this is a total severage, and therefore, hareza krisus, that is a good get. So here, it's impossible to say this is your get on the condition that you die, because in that situation, there's no krisus. So you're right, this whole line of reasoning is rejected. So where it says, you know how you do this? Ella, this is the scenario. When the person takes the second wife, we do it, that he says to her, the Omer law, that the get should take effect, hareza gitech almenas shelo tomus chavertecha. This get will take effect, assuming the first wife doesn't die. If the first wife doesn't die, so then you are divorced retroactively, and he has the first wife in place. Nebuch, if the first wife dies, so then this get does in fact not take effect, and he has the second wife. Sounds like we finally have gotten to a good answer. And therefore, the Gemara says, Ilo mesa chaverta, if the first wife doesn't die, so then migrush it. Then the second wife is divorced, and life is good. He has only one wife. Vi nebuch mesa ha, and if the first wife does in fact die, so then the second get, the second wife, the replacing wife, the get to her, doesn't go into effect, and therefore, ha kaima ha. Looks like we finally got an answer. We finally figured it out. How you can have two wives that he's really only married to one of them at the time of the Avod of Yom Kippur. So Gemara says, this sounds like it's a very good teretz, and we almost made it. However, the Gemara says, v'dilma, there's one scenario that you haven't taken into account. Maybe, mesa chaverta bepalgo di avoda. He's doing one of the Avodas of Yom Kippur. He starts doing the Avoda. And mitten the Avoda, in the middle of this Avoda, Nebuch, the first wife, passes away. And now what happens? So in this situation, the first wife was alive at the beginning of the Avoda. The second wife, that get never takes effect because the first wife passes away. So the second wife is also his wife. So now it turns out that for this half of this Avoda, he had two wives because the first wife was still alive at that point in time. And the second wife, the replacement wife, so she is in fact his wife, because the get never goes into effect, because Nebuch, the first wife, ultimately dies. So therefore, the igle milsa, we turn to Yudgimalomi Beis, Lima Freya, it turns out, after the fact, the gita, the ha, lav gita. So the get that was given to the replacing wife is not in fact a get. And the bottom line is, v'ovid lei avoda b'shnei batim. And for the first half of this avoda, he in fact has two wives. And that's a problem. We're stuck again. He's only allowed to have one wife. So this teretz was close, but not good enough. So Gemara says, you're right. Ella, the Omer law. You know what he says to this replacement wife when he marries her? He does the nisur and he gives her a get afterwards al tanai. And he says, Hareza Giter, this will be your get. The exact opposite of what we just said before. This will be your get. Hareza Giter, Amanash Tomus Chavertach. That if she dies, this is your get. Of course, says, but that's ridiculous. Maybe wife number one will die, and Havale Gita, Doha Gita, and this get will then be a good get, and he'll have no wives for Kamle below Bais. So we're stuck. We don't have an answer. How does it even work that Rabbi Yehuda says you should be Masakin, Behazmona, she had the second wife that you did a Kiddushin and a Nisuin on? He loved Dafka, he actually didn't have to live with her, he just had to do the Nisuin, so loved Dafka that he actually lived with her, but how do you possibly have over here that this man takes the second wife? Under what scenario does it work that he should have only one wife during the Avodah of Yom Kippur and not have two wives or no wives? So Gemara says, okay, try one more time. Elo de Megarish Lehu Tarvayu. He actually gives a get al tanai to both of his wives. And he says as follows. L'chor de Omer lo, he says to wife number one, he says to her, Harei zegitech al menas shelo tomus chavertech. This should be your get on the condition that the second wife doesn't die. And he says to wife number two, V'lecha d'omer lo, he says to the other wife, wife number two, Harei zegitech amanah shelo tikonsi lebeis ha-kneses. This will be a get as long as you don't go into a shul. If you go into a shul on Yom Kippur, so then this is not a get. Now how does this help us? He gives the get to the first wife, and he says to her, this is your get on the condition that your fellow wife doesn't die. So let's say the first wife here is a replacement wife. So he gives a get to the replacement wife on the condition, he says, Shelo Tomus Chavertech. So if the original wife doesn't die, so then this is a get to the replacement wife. And then he says to his first wife, Lecha d'omer lo, he says to her, this is your get, Harei Zegitech, Amanah Shelo Tikonsi Lebeis HaKnesses. This is your get if you don't go into a shul. So she'll control whether she goes to a shul. As soon as she sees that she's not dying, so she will go into a shul. That will invalidate her get. So the original wife will still be his wife, won't be divorced. And the second wife, the replacement wife, will be divorced because the first wife doesn't die. So sounds like it's a good solution. Someone says, no, it's not a good solution. You know what's going to happen? Baruch Hashem, the original wife is not going to die. And what's going to happen? So the get to the replacement wife takes effect, but the original wife, maybe she won't go into a shul. And therefore, her get will take effect too. And now both of them, the gets take effect because the tanais were fulfilled. The replacement wife's tanai was fulfilled because the first wife didn't die. And the first wife, she didn't enter into a shul on Yom Kippur. So therefore, her get takes effect too, and it turns out, v'kom le below bias, and it will turn out that he has no wife at all. Now, of course, you could say, well, make her go into a shul, but you can't force somebody to necessarily do something, and this would be taking a chance. So Gemara says, okay, that isn't perfect, but here is the perfect teretz, and this is what we spent the entire shakel v'tayyeh back and forth with some of these questions that really weren't strong questions, but we're just trying to get to this final answer, as Rashi explained. And here is the final good solution. Elo, he says to the replacement wife, L'choda, Omer lo, he says to the replacement wife the following, Harei zegitech, this shall be your get, amenas shelo tomus chavertech. If the original wife doesn't die, then you are retroactively divorced to before Yom Kippur, and you're out of the picture. Nope, and if the original wife does in fact die, so then you have the replacement wife, because the get doesn't take effect. Ulechadin, to the original wife, he says, Omer lo, Harei zegitech, this will be your get, amenas shekonis ani lebeis haknesses. The Kohen Gadol says that this will be a get if I go into a shul. So now the Kohen Gadol controls everything. He can say, the first wife Nebuch passed away, so my second wife, the replacement wife, will be a real wife. Her get doesn't take effect. I will go into a shul and retroactively have divorced the wife Nebuch that passed away. And this way, he'll only have one wife, the replacement wife. And if, Baruch Hashem, the first wife doesn't die, so then the get, the second wife, does in fact take effect. And the second wife's out of the picture, and he only has one wife. So therefore, he says to the original wife, Harei zegitech, this will be a get on the condition, Amanash, that Kanis in the basic senses, if I do go into a shul, so he'll make sure he doesn't go into a shul if she doesn't die. Now, let's explain that inside. The Maisoho Kaimor, if Nebuch, the replacement wife, in fact dies, so then since the first wife his original wife didn't die, so that it turns out that the get that he gave to the replacement wife took effect before Yom Kippur, because the first wife, the original wife, didn't die, so the replacement wife's get took effect. So even though Nebuch, the replacement wife, died, but the get took effect first, so he only has one wife on Yom Kippur, his original wife. So that works out fine. And even in the other situation, Nebuch, his first wife, dies, so then the second wife's get doesn't take effect, because we said it doesn't take effect if the first wife dies. So therefore, v'maisaha, kaimaha. Aye, what are you going to tell me? Michael Neymar, duma maisa chaverta, bepalgu de avoda. Are you going to tell me that his original wife dies in the middle of the avoda? That was the problem that we had previously. And therefore, v'yobad le'avodu l'mafrei b'shnei batim. And therefore, since the get to the replacement wife doesn't take effect, and the first wife was alive for the first half of the avoda, and this was the problem that ruined it for the almost solution that we had earlier. So in this situation, no problem. You know what you can do? He doesn't have two wives for this first half of the avoda, because now, as soon as he sees Nebuch, that this woman is about to die, his first wife is about to die, Rachmana Litzlan, he quickly goes into a shul. And that makes her, even though she's Nebuch about to die, that makes her a divorcee and not his almana. And that's a retroactive divorce to the time before Yom Kippur. And now, and it turns this Nebuch, the first wife, who's about to die, and then she dies, it turns out that she wasn't his wife at the time of death. She was technically divorced because he went into a shul before Yom Kippur. And therefore, she technically is not his wife at the beginning of this avoda, the palgo di avoda, even though she was physically alive, but since she's about to die, she's technically divorced. So with all of this shock of Atalia, we got a technical answer to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita that you set aside a second wife, then how we do this, that she has actual nisuin, and that he only has one wife for the entire Yom Kippur, and not having two wives or no wives. So we finally got to this answer via doing this last situation where he gives a double tonight. He says to his original wife one tonight, and he says to the replacement wife the other tonight that we just said, and Baruch Hashem, we solved this problem. Now, this entire problem was based upon the fact that we dashed in the Pasuk, as saying he must only have one wife. So based upon this drasha, we have a problem in two other areas. So Maskev lo Ravasi. Ravasi asked the following shayla. Other say Vitim was Rav Avira. It was Rav Avira asked the following shayla. Based upon this drasha, that you're only allowed to have beso, meaning one wife, so we have another Pasuk. It says, by Yibam. Yibam is Rachmanu Litzlan. If a man dies without having children from his wife, and he has a brother, so the brother is mechuyev to marry the widow, his dead brother's wife. So the remaining live brothers have an obligation to go and marry the widow of the dead brother, because they have to build a house in the name of Achiv. And the pasuk says, "Asher lo yibon es beis Achiv." If the person doesn't want to do this yibum, so then we have chalitza. Fine. So this is beis Achiv. It says his brother's house, implying one house. So therefore, either Rav Asi or Rav Avir asked the following question. Elamayata, shtei yevamos habos mibayis echad, lo yisyavnu. It says it has to be beis achiv. What happens if the dead brother Nebuch had two wives? He has Rachel and Leah. He has two wives. So we know the whole sugya in Yevamos, which means Hashem, it's not that far away, right? When we finish the beautiful Seder of Moed, so then we start with Yevamos in Noshim. So we're going to have this whole discussion about what happens if a person has two wives. So which one does he do Yibam on, which one does he do Chalitz on, and all the parameters of that. But you see that even if a person has two wives, we do Yibam. But based upon this drasha of the Kohen Gadol, Chiper Bado, V'yad Beso, you shouldn't have to do Yibam if there's two wives. Shnei Yivamos HaBos V'bayis Echad Lo Yisyavdu. So Gemara says, no, that would be taka right, except that the Torah tells us yivimto, yivimto, riba. It tells us the word yivimto more than one time to tell us that even if he has more than one wife, he has more than one yivama lashok, nevertheless, there is this mitzvah to do yibam. So therefore, you'd be right in terms of the basal, meaning one wife, but we have a special pasuk, yivimto, yivimto, to tell us it doesn't apply. Try again. Same thing. Maskev l'Ravina v'itam Rav Shravya. Either it was Ravina or Rav Shravya that asked the following shayla. Based upon this as well, El Mayato Arusa lo tisyabim. You just told us that it has to be Beso, it has to be his wife through full Nisuin. So therefore, based upon this, you shouldn't have to do Yibam if a woman was only an Arusa. But the halach is that you do Yibum, even if the woman was only a Rusa. You must do Yibum with Chalitza, even to an Arusa. But you just said it had to be somebody that was fully taken in, has to be not only Kiddushin, which would make her the Arusa, Erisin, but it also had to be Nisuin. So how come that doesn't apply to Yibum as well? So Gemara says, no, we have another pasuk. The pasuk says, Lo siyeh eisha sameis hachutza li'ish zor. And the word hachutza means l'rabos esu arusa. So again, if we just had the idea of beso, so then you're right. It would be a problem. But since we have the extra word hachutza, that comes to be marba, even the arusa. That concludes this sugya, which we don't paskin halacha l'maisa like. So with this shkalim, we would have ignored this opinion. But in the Bavli, as we pointed out when we did Shkalim, the Bavli discusses even sugyas that are not la'alacha, and that's why we spend so much time understanding the shita of Rav Yehuda that says you're masakin for the Kohen Gadol, the second wife, even though l'maisa, we did not do that. Okay, now the Gemara starts and says, Tanu Rabbanu, we learn the following braisa. Kohen Gadol makriv onin. Rachmona Luslan, if the Kohen Gadol loses one of the Zayin Krovim, right, his wife, his mother, his father, Rachmona Litzlan, all of these losses, a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter, all of them Rachmona Litzlan, so he's an Onen. But the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to a regular Kohen, is still allowed to do the Avoda while he's an Onen. However, the one caveat is Ve'ena Ochel. He isn't allowed to eat from the Korbanos that he does. We had this whole discussion previously with Moshe Aaron on the day that Nadav and Avihu passed away. So he asked them, how come you didn't eat the Korban? So, again, that's because an Onen is normally not allowed to eat a carbon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu only told him to eat one carbon and not the other carbon. Moshe was wrong. Aaron corrected him. We had this sugya previously. In any event, the Tanakhama says that the Kohen Gadol is able to be makriv while he's an Onen, but ain't ochel. He's not allowed to eat while he's an Onen. Then Rav Yehuda makes an enigmatic statement, which we'll have to explain. Rav Yehuda Omer, kol hayom. He says, all day long. What does all day long mean? Gemara says, my kol hayom. What is Rav Yehuda telling us? So Rava wants to give the following suggestion. Omer Rava says, now, that's the Girsa that we have. Others have the Girsa Rabba. But we'll just leave it as Rava. Amar Rava, lo nitzricho, elu lahavio mitoch beiso. So the Chiddush is over here that the Kohen Gadol has to be brought even from his house. As Rashi points out over here, that it's a mitzvah sheviyu lemikdosh lavod kol hayom. Even if he wasn't working that day, he was taking a little break, he was learning. In that situation that he's an onen, you bedavka bring him in, kidei lefakech tzaro, to remove his tzar. He's in terrible distress. Nebuchadnezzar just lost one of his zayin krovim, so we bedavka bring him into the base of Mikdash to take away his tzar. And that's what Rava means when Rav Yehuda says, Omer, kol hayom, Rav Yehuda says, you bring him in even from home. All day long he has to work, even if he wasn't working there lechatchila. Abai doesn't like this teretz. Amle Abaya says, really? Hashto l'Rav Yehuda afuki mafkinule. Rav Yehuda, under the situation where it's a regular Kohen Hedyot, stops the Kohen Hedyot middle of the Avoda, he stops the Kohen Hedyot from working. If Rachman of Islam, the Kohen Hedyot becomes an Onen, he sends him home middle of the Avoda. So you're going to tell me, by the Kohen Gadol, he not only doesn't send him home middle of the Avoda, he goes and brings him from his house to do the Avoda? That's the question Abaya asks and Rav. He says, Hashtal Rav Yehuda, according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, which we'll say in a moment inside, Afuki Mavkinale, you take the Kohen Hedyot and stop it from doing the Avodah if he becomes an Onain. And where do we see this? The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Hayomidu Makriv Agabi Mizbeach. If a regular Kohen Hedyot is doing the Avodah in the Mizbeach, and Nebuch Vishamach Shemes Lomes, and you hear that he in fact lost one of the Zayin Krovim, and now he's an Onain. So Rav Yehuda says, Meniach Avodoso, you stop him in the middle of the Avodah, the Yotze, and you make him leave the Beis HaMikdash because he's an Onen, and a Kohen Hedyot, who's an Onen, is not allowed to do the Avodah, the Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yossi says, nah, let him finish. Rav Yossi, let him finish the Avodah, and then you send him home. So you see that Rav Yehuda is extremely strict when it comes to a Kohen Hedyot. You make him stop mitten the Avodah. Nevertheless, you're going to tell me, Va'at Armis, and now you're going to tell me, Maisinu Le Mitoch Beso, that the Kohen Gadol, if he was in the middle of the Avoda, okay, we could let him finish the Avoda. We could let him continue to do the Avoda. But you're telling me that Rav Yehuda would say here that you go and bring him from his own house to come in and do the Avoda? Doesn't make any sense. He's Machmir by the Kohen Hedyot to send the Kohen Hedyot home. So he's going to tell me he's going to be Makel to bring the Kohen Gadol in to Bedavka, say it's a mitzvah for him to do the Avoda? Abai says, I don't like Rava's teretz. And therefore, Rava says, okay, I'll accept your argument, and says as follows. Elo Amar Rava. So Rava says, what does it mean when Yehuda says, Rav Yehuda Omer, kol hayom, my kol hayom, we turn to Yudalud Amud Aleph. Lomar comes to teach us, Sheino Oved kol hayom, bidavka, we don't let him work all day long. We make him go home. We stop him from doing the avodah. In other words, Rashi says, top Rashi, ad halayla. We don't let him do avodah the rest of the day. Avol that night, balayla, in balahakdir chalav, and they move. If he wishes to put up the sacrificial fats and the limbs that weren't yet placed on the mizbeach, yachdir, we let him do so. So that's what it means, that we don't let him work the rest of the day. The opposite of what we just said previously, that we bring him in from his house. So Yehuda says, we don't let him work the rest of the day. Why not? He says, gzeira, shema yocha, because he may forget himself or come to eat. And a Kohen Gadol who works by Ninas is not allowed to eat. So therefore, while he's technically allowed to work by Ninas, certainly don't bring him in from his house and have him work because he can forget himself and go and eat. Morris says, there's also a problem. Amalei Ravada Barava L'Rava. This new teretz of Rava is questioned by Ravada Barava. He says, Mi gozer Yehuda, Shema Yocha. Does Yehuda really say this gezeira that maybe come to eat? But none. Our Mishnah said Yehuda Omer, Afi Shacharis Maskilo. We put another wife in. We just went through the sugya the whole first part of this year. We said that we set aside a second wife for him. Now, Shema Tomos Ishto, because maybe his first wife will die. But that would make him an onain. B'maisa Ishto Ovid Avoda. But we let him, if his wife dies, to let him do the avoda, v'lo gozer Yehuda Shema Yochal, and we don't make any such question that as a result we shouldn't let him do the avoda because maybe we'll come to eat it. Now this is fraught with problems, which the Gemara will now address both of them. First it will address the second problem, and then it will address the problem that most of you are thinking about. He divorced his wife. We just went through the whole sugya that in that situation, his wife dies, we retroactively divorced her. So she's not his wife, and he's not an onen because technically she was divorced. We'll get to that question in a minute. But first, we'll get to the question over here. Are you telling Rav Yehuda that makes a gzeira shema yochal? You clearly see that he doesn't make a gzeira shema yochal over here. So this is the question Rav Adam Rav asked Rav, and Rav says, no, it's not a problem. I'm like, hachi hashta? How are you comparing the two? I said over there by a regular Kohen Gadol in Aninus on a day that everybody else is eating, so don't let him do the avodah because he'll forget himself. He sees everybody else eating, so he'll eat too. On Yom Kippur, nobody's eating. Hachi hashta? How can you compare the two? Hasam, even the Yom Kippur, in our Mishnah, it's Yom Kippur. Nobody else is eating. The Kuliyama lo ko'achle. Nobody else is eating any korbanos. So you're concerned that he's going to forget himself and eat. He looks around. Nobody else is eating. So unami lo wasi lemecha. There is no concern in our Mishnah on Yom Kippur that maybe he'll forget himself and eat because nobody else is eating. However, hacha, in this price that we just brought down, where we don't let the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen's review, the work the rest of the day because he sees all the other Kohanim eating, and he's going to forget that he's an onan, and he may come to eat. The kuli am achli, everybody else is eating, su nami osi lemechal. So therefore, we have to be concerned. And finally, we get to the obvious question. Gemara says, v'chi haigavna, mi chayla ale aninas. You just said, oh, maybe, shema tomas ishto, and therefore, he's going to do the avoda, and he'll eat when he's in aninas. But we just went through the whole shock of Italian. It said that we arranged it, that he has two wives. We said to the second wife. So if the first wife dies, she's actually retroactively divorced. He sees she's about to die. So they retroactively give her the get. The get takes effect. He walks into the shul. And therefore, the woman is not considered his wife. So technically, he's not an aninus. So why would this even be a problem? Gemara says, you're right. Aninus doesn't take effect on him. And therefore, technically, we're not concerned that he's eating by aninus. Because v'ha migrisha, he actually divorced her. But nidanidas lochailale itrude milo mitrit. But the poor person Nebuch, this was his wife. This was a technical divorce. This wasn't a divorce because they don't get along. He married her for 40 years. He could be married to her for 60 years. So therefore, this Kohen Gadol is in a terrible position emotionally, and therefore he's going to be thinking of his wife, and therefore it's not appropriate that he go and eat any of the korbanos because, in fact, he's in a horrible mood. He's in a terrible mood. And a person should only eat korbanos when he's besimcha. So therefore, from this technical point of view, even though he's not naninus, he still shouldn't be eating the korbanos. And as we explained, we're not concerned about him eating the korbanos anyway because it's Yom Kippur and nobody else is eating the korbanos. So again, this was a very interesting and complicated sugya today that's not really, for most of it, lahalacha, even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, but Baruch Hashem, it's a beautiful sugya, and with this we conclude today's shir.